Hey guys, Wes here from the Mosh Pit. Tonight's episode, we interview Sammy Shafi of Blue Helix. We talk about his tours, his music, and some great things yet to come. Sit down, stick around, and check this one out.
Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
This is Sammy Shafi, and you are listening to The Mosh Pit. Let's talk about your time in Blue Helix. I want to know more about how that band got started from
you know, and where you are now?
Sure. I started Blue Helix in 2008. The original members, it was our original drummer's name was Miguel. Well, he had a lot of names, but we called him Tapeworm because he had a bottomless stomach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he could eat anything and not gain a pound. So we thought he had a tapeworm. And Wolf was my bassist for many, many years. And we, you know, we hit the local scene for pretty hard here in Washington State for many, many years, up until about 2012 with those cats, so 2011. And then I got a couple of different musicians through, you know, through the course of my, you know, the life of the band. A couple of different drummers came in. And then I had found Marco. He's a drummer from Brazil. He lives here in Washington State up north. Wolf had left for a little bit of time, came back. And I brought a friend of mine named Armand, a very close friend of mine, in to play guitar. And when I got that group together, we entered a competition in Brazil for our music video Aliens, which won. We were in up against, I think, 700 bands, and they chose our video and our song. And then that spiraled into radio play and you know, support. We had a tour van given to us from this car rental company, so we did a tour. In 2018, we had radio play. Antisocial Butterfly was in the top 10 most requested songs in December and January of 2018. And so we toured, we had a great time. And then I was invited back to do some more touring in Brazil and some other places. But at that time, the band members were having kids and really deep into their 9-to-5s. So the last time I played with the guys from Blue Helix here in the U.S. was July of 2019. And then after that, I immediately went to Brazil and toured with some musicians there that had a cover band. And they were playing Blue Helix's material. And we were doing the music together that I wrote with Blue Helix and like opening their show with it. And so I did that for a good 3 weeks. It was my second tour. And then I kind of developed a relationship with them. I went back again and did some more shows in December after I went, so August, December. And then I started writing all these songs you know, that's when the solo, my new project began, and, you know, kind of birthed from Blue Helix over to what I'm doing now, you know.
Very cool. Yeah. So you were in a cover band playing your stuff so does that mean you've made it when you have a cover band covering all your music?
No, I mean that I have friends, right? A successful cover band in Brazil who was kind enough, they liked Blue Helix's material enough to learn it and play it live.
That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome.
It's so good to see how people respond to it. You know, I've learned some tricks along the way, you know, working with those guys. And the reality is this, you know, we're not in a world where it's easy for an indie artist to get known, right? You have to work at it, right? It's a lot of work. It's constant, you know, a dedication to the craft and getting better at songwriting. And when it comes to touring, I think all bands need to have a healthy mix of covers. If the people that you're playing for don't know who you are, aren't paying money to come see you, you're just on tour, you're on the road, you got to have a healthy blend of covers. So I noticed that when I was in Brazil with that cover band, and we would do like My Hero from the Foo Fighters, follow up with one of my songs. They were much more receptive to my original after hearing the cover, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so now that's what I'm doing with, you know, with my touring is, like, I got back from India in March of 2020, that was my last tour under Sammy Shafi, my solo work. And the music, my originals were very well received because I was throwing in songs that they knew.
Mm-hmm.
in between it. So it's something I learned from playing with the cover band. It's like, okay, you know, it's a good way to get people's attention and get people excited about what you're doing is give them some familiar music, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's a good way to hook them in.
Songs, you tell them stories. So, you know, you play cover, you play your cover. You don't need to introduce it. You just play it. I call it a reimagination because I always like to reimagine the covers a bit. And then you tell the story about your song. Oh, I wrote this here. You know, you tell the story about how it came and then you play your original. Then you play the cover, right? Then you go back to a storytelling mode where you tell them about the... So that way you really captivate the audience to pay more attention to your originals instead of your originals then becoming background music.
Right.
Become something that they will act, you know, they want to focus on a little bit more because they know they're going to have a night, they're going to have songs that they know come at them. So they're going to, you have their attention.
Yeah. You know?
But if you're an original band and you're touring and you don't have a fan base and you're out there and you're doing your thing and you're just playing your originals, you're going to get a lot of people just talking, you know, and not because the music isn't good or, you know, they're not enjoying it. It's just, it's hard to get into stuff you don't know.
Yeah.
That you haven't heard.
If you lie to me, I'll stay another night. I no longer see my reflection in your eyes. All I'd hoped we'd be has faded from the light.
Sense. And when you're doing that, do you ever pull in, like, say you did a Foo Fighters song and then you go into one of your songs, is it ever one of those and this song was inspired from this song?
All the time. Yeah. All the time. Yeah. I you know, especially with the Foo Fighters, I mean, my top bands are the Smashing Pumpkins, Radiohead, the Stone Temple Pilots, Soundgarden, and anything that Chris Cornell does. Yes. And the Foo Fighters, you know, I learned how to play guitar from Tool, you know, listening to Tool. And, you know, but yeah, I love bands like The Cure and the Goo Goo Dolls and Oasis, You know, I like everything from the 90s, really. And, you know, I'm really into, but I started getting really into the 80s recently. You know, there's some really cool stuff from Depeche Mode and, like I said, The Cure before. And, you know, Aha's pretty dope. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff out there. And I've been trying to, you know, ingest some original songs or, I'm sorry, some new music. Like, it's hard for me to get into the new stuff. I guess that means I'm getting old. But I like Tones and I, that song Dance Monkey, I think it's cool. So I did a version of that on YouTube. And I'm always open to listen and hear stuff. So, you know, you know, be influenced by the music world around me.
Oh yeah, definitely.
For sure.
So how many instruments do you play?
Well, I just learned the ukulele last week. I play drum, bass, guitar, and didgeridoo.
Didgeridoo, that's awesome. Yeah. How'd you get into the didgeridoo?
I'll show you. So, this guy right here, I was at Guitar Center, and they had a sale on this thing for like, I don't know, it was like $50. And the dude's like, yeah, man, playing the didge is totally... totally hard, you know, it's taking years. I went on YouTube and I saw this guy doing it, and I, you know, and he had taken his mouth off of it, and I kind of saw what he was doing, and I figured it out really quick. The hardest part about it is circular breathing, which I haven't learned how to do, but that's been a goal of mine, is to learn how to circular breathe. A lot of great jazz singers, female singers, circular breathe, which I'm thanks for reminding me. I'm gonna learn. But so the way this is played is basically you do this, which is a vocal warm-up exercise, right? But then once you get your mouth in there and you're doing that, it's a suction thing where you have to kind of make sure that you're not leaving any air, and you're creating fluid bubble, that bubble sound. And then you can incorporate like inside of it, so it sounds like this. Hold on. That was basically what I just showed you. And if you really want to make it like sound like Aboriginal, I lost it. Right, I was saying didgeridoo. That was it.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
That's how I got into it.
Hey, that's the best way to do it, right? Just pick it up and go.
Guess, yeah, you know, anybody at home wants to learn how to play the didge, get good at going like this.
So let's talk about your inspirations. What bands, I guess you've already named a lot of your bands that were inspirations for you. But starting back when you were younger, you know, who were some of them you looked up to that you were like, you know, these are the guys that I would kill to open for?
Well, I started listening to music in 1993. This kid on the bus had showed me Dookie from Green Day and In Utero from Nirvana. And so I got into music with Green Day and Nirvana, which after I saw the Smells Like Teen Spirit video on MTV, that's when I asked my mom to buy me a guitar. So Smells Like Teen Spirit brought me in the world of wanting to play guitar, and I wanted to play like Kurt. And I just started learning how to play guitar with Green Day and Nirvana albums. And then that evolved into Tool and Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and the Stone Temple Pilots and Radiohead. And then that turned into a passion for just songwriting and singing. And that's when I really started diving deep into, you know, what Chris Cornell does, and guys like Scott Weiland from STP and Tom York from Radiohead, and I started listening to a lot of Beatles music too. The Beatles are great songwriters. Bob Dylan had a couple of things. I had a couple of songs my mom always used to have me listen to, like Mashes of War. So I did a reiteration of that, a reimagination for on a Blue Helix record called Tale of Two Halves. And and that's what really got me into it. But I've always, I grew up in the 90s. So I had a lot of 90s influence. Obviously I graduated high school in 2000. And that was when, a lot of really cool music had come out. It was in 95, 96, you know, for me anyway. And yeah, that's what got me into it really, brother. But the Smashing Pumpkins was always the band that I dreamt of being in. I always wanted to play guitar for the Smashing Pumpkins. I don't know why. It was just something about their sound on Siamese Dream and Melancholy. Like, they just had that really beautiful melodic, like quiet sound and then distortion sound, you know? Yes. And the Pumpkins just rock. And so a lot of my songwriting with Blue Helix always had that Smashing Pumpkins mentality of quiet and hard, you know, which I thought was really cool. That's what kind of made the Smashing Pumpkins unique, yeah. You know? And, that evolved, you know, and my songwriting continued to evolve and I'm at where I'm at now after all the crazy things that people had me listening to. Jeff Buckley's pretty amazing. He had an album called Race that I've been really into lately. I've been listening to the Eddie Vedder ukulele album because I'm learning how to play ukulele. So I've learned a couple of his songs already. So the influence I always have, it's always changing.
Case.
Nice. So with you in Blue Helix, what would you say is your biggest accomplishment as a band?
I would say when we won the competition in Brazil, and there was this competition we entered against a bunch of bands, and for our music video Aliens, and that took us into a spiral of cool things. We got radio interviews on the big rock station out there, turned into a tour. We got a car company, rental company that, you know, sponsored us, and then because they were the one who was running the competition, I made relationships with them, which has been really awesome. And I would say the 2018 tour for Blue Helix was the def in Brazil was the highlight of everything Blue Helix has done. You know, the radio play and all that. That radio play that we had for a couple months, we got we were in the top 10 most requested bands at the time during that. And because of that, they gave us an extra month of radio play. That turned into a lot of, you know, love on Spotify and things like that. And it was just one station, you know. It made me realize, it's like, man, if you can get on 10 stations that are big, you know, FM stations in one country, well, 100 stations in the U.S., oh, man, on rotation. I mean, that's how it spirals crazy for many artists, you know, is everyone jumping on board. That was just one radio station that jumped on board because of the competition. And it just kind of was an eye-opener of like, wow, you know, it was a little taste. It was cool, you know. Yeah. It was really cool. It was a moment, and that was definitely the highlight. You know, Antisocial Butterfly, and the you know, Aliens music video, and being able to do that with the guys. We filmed a music video called Anodyne, all VHS, while we were in Brazil. We did a tour video in Brazil. You know, it's all on YouTube, Blue Helix Brazil tour. So yeah, that was definitely the best of the best for me with the band.
Congrats, man.
Thanks.
What's been your biggest challenge as an artist, just in general? Just getting your name out there?
I would say, building the fan base is hard. It's hard because there's so much stuff out there for people to choose from. It gets lost in the abyss. You just have social media, and, you know, putting your stuff out on social media doesn't do all that much because, you know, the social sites only show your stuff to 10% of your fans. So they make you market it. You have to spend a ton of money constantly marketing, which I do. I do YouTube marketing, Spotify. I've tried everything. And, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't, I don't get a lot of return from some of those things I do. But it's, you know, when you do get those messages from people who do find you, and you touch them and you connect, it's pretty special, you know. And I definitely have had some really cool in the last 6 months, some, you know, really cool messages from people that have connected with the music or my songs. And, you know, I just keep pushing, keep going, keep writing, keep making, you know, high quality. Everything I release, Wes, everything I do, I make sure it's at record label quality, you know, like back in the day when, you know, only the record labels were releasing great sounding stuff. My music videos are top notch. My productions were top notch. You know, whether or not people like the songs or the videos, that's, you know, subjective, of course. But I make sure the quality's there. And right now, I'm trying to get into the world of getting my music synced into film and TV. So right now, I have an interview or a pitch session on March 7th with a really, really popular music supervisor. I get to pitch one song to him. From this thing that I'm a part of, and I'm hoping that he digs, and I'm hoping that I can develop a relationship with him, because, you know, things spiral, you know, one opportunity always creates opportunity for the next. And so that's what I'm trying to do now. You know, I just released a new album, Extraordinary World. So push it.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm doing that.
Yeah. You know, speaking of opportunities and all those, you know, I think you were one of the first bands that I actually started pushing, you know, when I first started this podcast. You were one of the first ones with me, which makes me sad that it's now 2021 and this is the first time we've actually gotten to speak.
Yeah.
But that's the way life goes.
Better late than never, brother, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I think persistence wins the race, right? with everything in life, with what you do, with what I do. You just keep doing what you love and hope for the best.
Exactly.
Don't expect anything. Just do it.
That's right. That is right. And I want to personally tell you thank you for, you know, like I said, you were one of the first bands to send me music way back when. And dude, we love playing your stuff. We love playing all your stuff.
I appreciate it. Have you had a chance to check anything off out from the new album, From Extraordinary World?
I have not, but I plan on doing that.
Yeah, it looks like this on Spotify, iTunes, whatever you use.
Okay.
Cover.
Very cool.
The entire record was written in 6 different countries. Every song was written in a different place. All the music are filmed in different places on YouTube. You can check out Dirty Your Soul and This Majesty, which were filmed in India, featured on Rolling Stone India. You can check out Extraordinary World, which is filmed across the entire world, actually, with drone shots from my film producer, Alex Sendersupasi in Brazil. That's really cool. That's probably my favorite video. And I'm about to drop one the next week called Serenade of the Darkness with a Brazilian model actress named Raquel Ferrari. So, yeah, and that's turned out really, really cool. And, yeah, so that album is, you know, fresh and starting to work. I have just wrote 2 new songs that I'm excited to get out there and, you know, start making music videos for those. Thinking about making a zombie video where this zombie girl eats me alive and I'm singing into the camera and loving every bit of it.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, Tale of Two Halves was a killer album. Absolutely killer from you guys. And if the new album's anywhere close, I know I'm going to love it.
Well, Antisocial Butterfly is the newest Blue Helix record.
Is it? Yeah. Why was I thinking Tale of Two Halves was... Okay.
Well, Tale of Two Halves, the first one I sent you back in 2014.
That might have been it, yeah.
Social Butterfly came out in 2017, right as the new year was happening in 2018. So you haven't heard Antisocial Butterfly. If you like Tail, you're going to love Antisocial.
I've heard both.
Oh.
Because I've got both of them on my phone, so they just play, you know, one end of the other. So
good. Dude,
both albums are killer.
I'm glad you like. Yeah, Tail was a full record. 11 songs, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Antisocial has 6.
Well, EP?
Kind of, yeah, it's an EP.
Kind of. So what, as far as playing venues, what's your favorite venue, some of your favorite venues to play?
I like Hard Rock Cafes. They're organized. The sound's always really nice. The stage is always really nice, especially like in Cambodia and, outside the U.S., they always have these like screens in the back where you can like put video and they have you that's on stage on the screen behind you. It's pretty cool. I like that about the Hard Rock Cafes. There's some places in Brazil I love to play, Stone's Bar and Morrison's Music Bar. They're huge venues that have massive lights and stage and great built-in fan base, which is cool. I love those places. I look forward to those all the time. Here in Seattle, I've always enjoyed playing at a place called the Crocodile. And the time I played at the Showbox Market, that was pretty special. And what else? I don't know. I even find the little tiny like dive places charming. There's this place in the Philippines that's called the Conspiracy Garden that's just, you know, it's not, you don't think much of it when you walk in, but for some reason, it's something about the vibe in a room sometimes, you know? So, I don't know. I'd be happy playing anywhere, brother, if there's people listening, you know? But yeah, those are my favorite for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So you're coming to Atlanta soon. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. Let's see. I should be better on these dates because it's happening later in the year. It's in August, from what I remember. There's this thing called the ISSA Awards, and I'm doing a We're doing a showcase. It's just there's a bunch of bands are playing. Everybody's doing a one song showcase, right? But I'm going to be in Atlanta doing that. So I'm going to book a gig there also. I'm going to try to get a gig at the Hard Rock there. I just need to, you know, confirm all that, but I will be there. And I don't know if you have bands in town, but Bands in Town is a really good way to follow when bands are playing and artists are playing. Yeah, if you follow Sammy Shafi on Bands in Town on my website, www.sammyshafimusic.com, you can see it right there. You can follow me, and then when I have shows come up, you can see it. Okay. When next to your town. Spotify does the same thing. If you follow an artist on Spotify, you can see when there's a show near you. So
very cool.
But yeah, I'll definitely, you know, I'll send you a message when we're coming into town, and maybe you can grime up some of the people that listen to the station. Yeah. Come out to the show.
We definitely will. Hopefully you'll be in town long enough. You can swing by our studio, come hang out with us.
Cool.
Because I think that'd be kind of fun.
That would be a lot of fun. I would like that very much.
Walking through darkness, knowing you're all alone, even among like they're throwing stones. How many times must they bump into me? Am I invisible or can I be seen? Am I invisible or can I be seen? Look what this world has done to me. Have you ever heard one word that I've said? Or is my voice all in my head? How many times have we all tried to fail? Sometimes this world is a real living hell. Am I invisible or can I be seen? Look what this world has done to me. Trials and errors all seem the same. How did we get here? No one seems to see. But for fame and fortune, sometimes we must lead. I'm not invisible, I can't be seen. Look what this world has given me.
Before I let you run away, do you have any advice for any up-and-coming artists trying to make their name?
I do. I would say first, learn to record your own music, but not only, it's not about the gear as much, it's about the patience and the time that you put into what you do. Everything from the miking to the performance, finding a good mixing engineer and mastering engineer to work on your stuff after you've recorded it will bring it, elevate you to the next level. You know, every music video you produce and do, try to put the most quality time into the, pay attention to the production and don't do anything half-ass, because you don't, even though you may not have a big platform for a lot of people to see you, those who do see you, you want them to latch on. So make sure that you put your best foot forward always with videos and productions and albums, album artwork. Don't just put anything, you know, really think about it. And try not to always think about what it is, just what you want, but think about what is going to, you know, resonate with others.
Yeah.
Don't let that dictate your final decision, but, you know, have that be part of the consideration of what you do. The other thing I would say is when you're playing live shows, you know, cater to your audience by, you know, sprinkling in more covers than you want to. You know, I mean, a lot of artists are very, you know, proud of their own music and they're like, oh, we're only going to play one or two covers a night. Well, that's not fair to the people in front of you that may not know who you are. Mm-hmm. If you want to suck them in, you know, sprinkle a cover in every one or two, you know. So start with a cover, you know, get their attention, play a couple originals, story tell about your songs, play a cover. Play another original or two, play a cover. I mean, that's just what I found in all the years that I've been doing it that really does work. It helps so much. I mean, I would love to just go and play my own songs, but that's really a great way to connect. And then I would say finally, you know, online, be careful where you spend your money on marketing and promotion. PR companies aren't all that they're meant to be. You just got to get lucky and find the right people, the right team. Process of elimination. Like you try things, it doesn't work, move on. You know, it's just, everything's a learning experience. And I fully believe that, you know, there's a right combination for every artist, like a right team, a right person to work with, a right person to, you know. And I think that that's what I would say. Don't give up, be persistent, you know. But if your goal is just to write great music and have a good time, awesome. If you're trying to get out there and build a fan base and get people to get into what you do, yeah, that other advice is for you.
Nice. That's good advice. Maybe our listeners will take it to heart.
Well, if you have a lot of musician listeners, then
I feel like we do. At least the ones that we play their music anyway.
Right on, brother. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the support. I'm really stoked that you're still listening to the Blue Helix Records. And you know, if there's anything you need, hit me up. I'm always available through email especially. And but yeah, let me know what you think about the new album, Extraordinary World. If you have a chance to watch some of the music videos, awesome. And thanks for having me, brother.
And so I'm sat right down, navigating for souls. I park my keister to the ground and hope my thoughts follow. We make this a ghost town so that we can heal. And my roots, they reach around so that I can feel. Here we are, sharing the same song. Here we are, all still having fun. Here we are, sharing the same song. Here we are. Just can't do the things that make us weak. I know we'll all pull through. I know absence makes love strong. And we'll find all that is true. And we'll fix all that is wrong. Here we are, sharing the same song. Here we are, all still having fun. Here we are, sharing the same song. Here we are,
here we are, here we are.
Ah!